Oh no, I fully believe Chad is also like it's clear that he's making an effort to try to connect with Brendan.
Everybody, welcome to No Script, an unscripted conversation about theater's best scripts. I'm Jacob, that's Jackson. You are joining us for themed month of season 12. We've done 12 of them, and this is only the third time we've done short plays. So if you're out there like, too many short plays, it's only the third time.
And three's a good number. And this time we're vamping on the theme a little bit, or renovating the theme a little bit, and doing short plays. Uh-huh. We're doing the 10-minute plays, which is something we've never turned to before in the course of our 12 seasons of this particular subject matter. So it's exciting. It's exciting to get to engage a number of these kind of short plays, action-packed sometimes, relationship-packed, imagination-packed, sometimes scaries packed.
As we're that was the teaser. Sometimes scary.
That's my teaser. That's what I got.
Good. Yeah. Okay. That's how I would describe this play as scary. Not.
Yeah.
No. This is big comedy. It's just like spooky themed big comedy. Today we're talking about Ghost Bros, a 10-minute play published in the Humanus Festival Anthology Wondrous Strange by Jen Silverman, show favorite. Yeah. Jen Silverman.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's fun to get to engage this type of theater from Jen Silverman. It's a great little show. It's full of all sorts of fun asides and things like that. So yeah, definitely looking forward to the conversation around it.
What just occurred to me, and this is totally like unprepped conversation, ready?
It's no script.
So 10-minute plays, because of what they are typically not performed in isolation, right? You don't ask an audience to show up and watch 10 minutes and then go back to their lives. You put together an evening of 10-minute plays, an assortment of 10-minute plays, or as is, there's a festival here in town by the Montana Repertory Theater where they'll do like site-specific 10-minute plays. So one year we went to a school and we watched like six 10-minute plays that took place in different classrooms of a school or in the downtown strip, or I think they did been at a hotel in the past. So that kind of a thing, right? You collect 10-minute plays and you present them together. So 10-minute plays are strange in that they're their own little pieces of writing, but they're sort of by the nature of what they are paired with other short little pieces of writing. And Ghost Bros, that helps it to some degree, certainly, because there's a lot there that is like, I'm a relief from other sorts of 10-minute plays. So all that to set up, we should put together an evening of the four 10-minute plays from there No Script. We should do it. We just do four of them. 40 minutes is plenty. And we'd do little, you know, interludes in between. It could be like a fundraiser.
Play music,
just like
sure.
For funsies. Somewhere where people could come and see it. That'd be a good idea.
Well, it begs the question, what is the unifying theme across all these plays?
Well,
is it connections missed and found? Or is it...
Oh, that's interesting. There is a romance through these first three, like it's about a marriage falling apart due to cheating and infidelity, and cover and friendship, and Coffee Break is about friendship and love. So the theme is love and friendship.
That theme will hold true in our conversation today, I'm sure, in one form or another. Excited for both the upcoming debut of a No Script one act evening and for our conversation about this particular script.
Before we jump in, streaming rights. Do you think we could get streaming rights to these four plays?
It's got to be a thing at this point. That could be pretty fun.
All right, send us an email, noscriptpodcast@gmail.com. It would also be much preferred if you would send along like $1,000 to do it at the same time. That would help. But that'd if you're help. Excited by that idea, reach out at No Script Podcast. That's our social media channels, noscriptpodcast@gmail.com. If we hear from you, we might think about it more deeply.
We'll think about it. Yeah, we'll make it happen one way or another. We'll see.
Our close friends, you're probably going to be the actors. So, like, this for might sure. be your moment. Send us headshots and resumes. No, I'm just kidding.
Right.
Send us your enthusiasm.
Enthusiasms. Absolutely. So, find us on all the places you can find us for that. And if you're looking for a way to get involved in the DoseCrypt community a little bit more, as well as adding in your voice to any potential future live performances, you can head on over to patreon.com/NoScriptPodcast and find us over there. We have just so many great patrons over there. Thank you all so much for being patrons of the show. If you're looking for a way to get involved in the NoScript community or just help out the show if you have enjoyed what you're listening to, it's a great way to help out the show. You can find us on Patreon, find a number of different tiers of patronship over there. You also have access to patron only posts like the scripts that we were doing for themed month coming up, as well as advance notice of some of the scripts coming up for the season. So definitely check us out over there. If you're looking for a way to help out the show, be a part of the NoScript community, it's a great way to do that. Thank you to all the patrons who have already decided to be a part of the community in this way. We'll see you at patreon.com/NoScriptPodcast.
And now, back to the script.
Here we go. Okay, so I'm going to give you just a short synopsis of this short play. This play takes place in a haunted house. It's scary, ooh, trust me. three bros have showed up to film in this haunted house.
Three bros.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we have Ace, who is kind of has main host energy. We have Brennan, who has a camera op energy. And then we have Chad, who is scared friend of frontman energy. So it picks up, the action picks up in the house, and they're kind of there for the first time. Ace does the sort of like preamble of, we're going to be in this house and we're going to find all these ghosts and we're going to really, really find it this time. And there's all these bodies in the house, etc. He's the one who sort of is narrating through the experience. Chad very quickly notes some of his fear. And tries to cover it up as best he can. But Brennan also notices some of his fear, and very quickly we discover that Brennan might have a bit of a crush on Chad, and like offers to hold his hand as they're going through to kind of help him not be afraid. And even as Chad kind of continues to process the scariness of what's going on, as Ace reveals more and more about the scariness of this house that they're in, Brennan keeps like trying to encourage him and saying, "Hey, don't worry, you look really good tonight." And Chad's like, "Wait, what'd you say?" And Brennan's like, "It all looks fine in here." He tries to like cover his tracks. But eventually, this kind of class in miscommunication or attempts at reaching out eventually does bear fruit. Brennan manages to say to Chad, like, what if we could hang out outside of this, just the two of us? And it finally dawns on Chad that what he's saying is hang out is more than friends. And there's this kind of like moment where he's like, I think that would be fun. We should do that. And so they have this kind of connection between them. We hear Ace further off down the hallway, having taken the camera away from Brennan, kind of filming himself going through the house. But eventually Brennan's like, well, what if we just left right now? What if we just got out of here and started hanging out right now? And Chad's like, yeah, that's a great idea. Let's do that. So they ditch Ace, and Ace is off like filming further down in the house. And this is where the truly harrowing thing happens. The last kind of moments of the play are after Brendan and Chad have kind of left and headed out. Their last kind of words are cool, word, bruh. And they disappear. And then a girl walks out into the line of sight. She has a bell. The bell's important because there's this legend of a bell that is rung. There's a little girl who died here who comes out and rings a bell all the time. So that's what Ace is looking for. She comes out with a bell. She is clearly a ghost, dead in some way. Looks after the bros who just left and kind of shrugs and walks off stage. That's the end of the play.
Ghost that they've been ghost hunting.
The whole time.
Made an appearance. Bruh! What a play. So this is, right, Ghost Bros is satire, I think, yeah, to some degree, of this kind of frat bros, tough, totally like uninterested in seeming affectionate to other dudes, never scared, never anything but like, oh yeah, oh bro, like that that culture. And it first of all, it's very real. You all know somebody like this. Don't pretend that you don't.
For sure. Yeah, no, definitely. It's kind of zooming in on some of that, critiquing some of that, and also kind of showing what happens if you open up a little bit and trust a little bit, that maybe occasionally there are those moments of connections out there, and maybe someone else feels similarly to how you do, even in the midst of the broiness of that particular culture. Then there's also like a satire critique of like the whole like, you know, go into a ghost house and try to make something happen sort of series of videos that goes on, especially with Ace. Ace kind of embodies both the epitome of this bro culture and also the epitome of this like spooky go into places and try to make something spooky happen sort of video series that certainly you've seen a reel or a TikTok or a YouTube video of something along these lines where people go into houses and try to make something happen. So yeah, so both of those are under critique.
It's a familiar enough format, right? Like we know the kind of event that these three bros are trying to make happen. And that is a really good setup to me for a 10-minute play, is characters trying to make something that we are familiar with. Because then you are able to toss in these variations that we can sense, right? The Brooke frat boy kind of culture that she throws into this very familiar ghost hunting, abandoned asylum with a camera kind of format. And then what I love about Jen Silverman is she never just twists things once. She twists it twice. And within this bruh trio, there is a budding romance.
Yeah. And kind of watching, like, there's three or four different comments that Brendan makes that, like, cues in the, like, he's trying to cue Chad in to what's going on. And Chad is, like, the great, like, kind of middle person between these two worlds. Because we find out in the end, of course, that he's open and game to go out with Brendan and spend more time with him. But he initially is the Chad. Like, it goes completely over his head. He's much more concerned about being afraid in here. And he like doesn't pick up on what Brendan is laying down initially. He's able to quickly believe Brendan's reframing of whatever he's said to him. So it is he's the epitome of the bruh Chad for sure.
Right, yeah, for sure. Yeah. So there's sort of two like writing ways that Jen Silverman builds us towards these two bros going off to, you know, we can say hang out to be delicate, but the stage direction is like it's getting hot before they leave. Yeah. So they're about to like Netflix and hang. So there's sort of two ways, right? The first is these little interjections that Brendan and quickly goes back on. So they're talking about how it's really scary in the asylum. Brendan says, "You good?" Chad, "Yeah, because if you were scared," "I'm not scared. You could like grab my hand and shit." And Chad says, "What did you say?" And Brendan says, "I said, get yourself in hand like a man, bruh." So that format, I think that's a very standard comedic layout, right? Say something that totally changes the flow of expectations. "You could grab my hand. We could hold hands." And then when the other character pounces on it, "What did you say?" Just pull back and about 180. "No, I said, we should get yourself in hand. Be a man, bruh." And that format, because it's so familiar, we're there. We're like, okay, I know where this comedy is headed. And that happens a couple of times. And he makes a couple of different attempts at that. But throughout, there's been another technique which I think is more interesting and ends up being more powerful. And it's that they never use each other's names. Mm-hmm. They call each other bruh throughout until they don't.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. Yeah, there's this sort of like familiar vernacular sort of line that isn't crossed for them, where they're just kind of referring to each other in the sort of abstract bro sort of way. That ends up paying off as well by the end of their by the time they leave, at least.
Yeah, so this comes very late in the play. The play's really about to be over. Brendan has finally moved on from this, like, I'm going to say something that sounds like I'm trying to start a relationship and then immediately want it. He's finally shot his shot, right? We should hang out together alone. And then it's like, I'm not sure. Brendan's feeling is a little like, maybe I crossed the line. What is going on? There's a lot of lines like, maybe if you don't want to. Chad says, I didn't say that. Finally, Chad says, I didn't say that, Brendan. Brendan says, oh, that's my name. Now, I have it on good authority from someone who's seen a production of this. I have not. That moment really is very powerful. Some of it is, I can't promise that this was intentional on the part of Jen Silverman, although I have such great respect for her that I suspect it is. Brendan and Bruh share a first two letters. And so I think that your brain, as you go through this, Brendan, gets a little bit tricked by the beginning of the word and then plays catch up a little bit in a way that makes it very dramaturgically powerful for this name to sort of appear because of what it kind of does to you, the audience member.
That's a really fun observation for sure. Yeah, I think that's the only time a name is said, if I'm very quickly paging through the rest of the play here. The only time is this Brendan moment. What a great kind of reversal, like juxtaposition with the kind of way that we've been so far, and to sort of have that for me has like the because we know fairly early that Brendan's interested in Chad. And then there's this kind of like slow warm up of Chad to the idea. And that for me is the moment where you're finally like, oh no, I fully believe Chad is also like it's clear that he's making an effort to try to connect with Brendan. Maybe he didn't think it was possible to connect this way before. But there is that like genuine moment of connection between them, and the use of the name certainly brings that home.
And it ends up being a kind of like stand-in for this kind of, right? It's like a specific thing that can change that represents a larger thing. There is a word for that I can't come up with right now. The part represents the whole, but I can't. I know the definition, but not the word. I'd be bad at Jeopardy. it is this thing, because the whole is this toxic masculine culture of like cannot be vulnerable. Cannot show affection to another man because it might be perceived as being gay. Cannot compliment another man's appearance, which occurs throughout this play. And of course, the characters in this play are going to be in a romantic relationship together. But the crux of that comes down to this word bruh. And because that is the thing that flips, that is the small thing representing this larger thing, she's able to use other parts of this in different ways, because you could have done something similar with physical touch, right? There is this taboo in this toxic masculine culture of not touching other men other than to like punch them in the arm, right? You don't hug your guy friends. You don't put your arms around your guy friends. You're acting like a girl. Right. And so she could have done something similar with that. Maybe in that moment, instead of saying a name, they grab hands. But that would have made that touch have a lot of power. And through the rest of the play, she wants to do other things with touch. She plays a couple of jokes where they start to get hot and then Ace interrupts them. So using the bruh is really effective, because then until the very final line of the play, the word bruh appears, that neither of them say bruh anymore throughout.
Yeah. It evaporates that particular tenant of the toxic masculinity culture by it's like almost like a spell is broken for them. And interesting that the spell of fear is also broken. I'm trying to like the late show up of the haunting girl into the play is just an interesting, like, obviously a big thing at the end of the play, or at least in terms of...
Either it is or it isn't, right?
Yeah.
It's hard to be a middle ground thing, but it's...
Yeah.
I'm sure it's funny.
Absolutely funny. But also like the I think if you want to tie it into something, it's certainly Chad's fear. Yeah. Like Chad's fear is also no longer has a power over him. And so Chad's the emergence of the thing that Chad feared the whole time, the ghost is sort of, I wonder, also the sort of physicality of Chad like taking a step and being brave with Brendan as well. So you have the kind of emergence of that. It's definitely a funny, almost you see the ghost kind of like shrug, I think, and like give this kind of like pan to the audience sort of moment.
And it violates our expectations too, or at least mine, because I see this kind of ghost hunting camera in an insane asylum sort of setup, and I immediately think this is fake. And I mean, I even come from a place where I sort of believe in things beyond the human realm, but I'm still immediately like, there's no ghosts in that haunted asylum. They're such fakers. They're just scaring themselves. And then there'd be a real ghost at the end, makes you go, ha! I guess.
I guess so. And then also to have the ghost like not go after Ace in some way, who's been left in the building alone. It's another great like reversal of what we're expecting from the emergence of the ghost. So yeah, it's almost like a fun little laughing alienation at the end of the play to help us re-engage out of the play again.
I think for a 10-minute play that serves the function of lightening the mood, In 10 minute, you know, in an evening of 10 minute plays, this is one where you really can just let it out and laugh. And you can watch, you know, people who in the culture that they represent, this like toxic rich frat boy culture, are people in power. So you get to laugh at those people in the way that the best satire laughs at the people in power. And there's a lot of great setups and payoffs of jokes. There's a twist in the end. So it's serving that function is really great. But there's also just some nice craft things from Jen Silverman that she, of course, being Jen Silverman, is a brilliant craftsperson. So just nice to throw them in, right? The bruh thing, the setup of these 180 jokes that you think are going to be the way it works out, and then they're not. The use of Ace as this sort of parading around representation of a larger culture. It takes somebody who's really good at craft to put craft into something that is, you know, intended to serve a role within itself and within a larger event.
Yeah. The focus of this play as a palate cleanser, I think, is a good one, definitely, because it is shorter. Certainly, I think the shortest amongst the plays that we'll engage in our themed month. But also there's so much in it, so much comedy, so much like love, so much nice, just kind of like, let's reset for a second. There's also lots of room for like blocking and physicality and comedic timing and things like that. So it's a great play for all of those things. We're coming down to the end of our particular conversation on this play today, but we'd love to extend it out to all of you. If you've been in this play, seen this play, read this play, or just, enjoyed the conversation and want to chime in about something about this particular play, you can find us on all the social medias. We're not on all the social medias. We're on Facebook, Instagram, or X at the username at NoScriptPodcast. We also have a Gmail, NoScriptPodcast@gmail.com. Find us on any of those sites. We'd love to keep talking about this play with you.
Absolutely. If you enjoyed this conversation, if you've been enjoying Themed Month, the season, our long stretch of almost 12 seasons now, please recommend us to your family, your friends, anybody you know that likes stories, theater, storytelling, conversations about writing and characters and all that great stuff. Send them our way. They can find us on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, YouTube, all the places you normally find your podcasts. Also, like the Facebook page, and a link to the new episode appears every Monday when we publish, including next Monday when the last episode of Themed Month will be here.
Wow, it just went, it's going by so fast. It'll be okay. But we're looking forward to that conversation. Until then, I'm Jackson, and that's Jacob. Thanks for listening to No Script, the podcast.